Much of the Word of God is fulfilled in, or quoted rather, in the New Testament, and this portion likewise is found in Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian returning home from worship in Jerusalem is reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And we're going to look at the last verse, verse 12. But I want to draw your attention to much of what is in chapter 53, because we know it is about Jesus, it is about the Messiah, it is about the Christ, and how that the verse 12 says, therefore, and in light of what went before, and so we look at the previous 11 verses in that chapter, and it's all about suffering. It's about the Lord being mistreated, being numbered with the sinners, bearing the sins of many, their transgressions, and in the midst of that, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Scripture says we've turned everyone to his own way, but yet at the same time, there the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of that that is wrapped up there. The Ethiopian was reading and puzzled and wondering, is this man speaking about himself, or is he speaking about somebody else? And we know in Acts chapter 8, Philip began at the same verse and preached Jesus. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful we can preach Jesus today. Amen. And know how powerful he is to minister in our needs, how able he is to provide because of a price that he paid. Amen. And the love that he showed, the willingness with which he gave. Amen. And the outcome of what he did. So we'll read verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So it's a summary of sorts, but yet it goes right on and lists so many things that he yet accomplished in his willingness to give himself as a sacrifice. And then he invites us, in turn, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. A paradox, a contradiction of terms, a misnomer. How in the world can you be a sacrifice but yet be alive? Well, that's the way the Lord wants us to live for him. Praise God. But I want to preach about the strong tonight. The strong. We didn't become that way in ourselves because he paid this price. Yes, amen. 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 You may be seated. God bless you tonight. Thank the Lord. It's amazing how that there are numerous examples in Scripture of how the Lord would fulfill his word, and he himself would state, "It is written." Amen. And would come to the place where he would refer to the word that he wrote, the word that he inspired, and as a man would defeat what the devil was bringing against him and the strength that he drew from that word and the temptations that he endured. And we know the Bible says the angels came and strengthened him. And thank God there is that strengthening. There is that being made strong. And the source of that strength is what we need to identify. We know in the natural, less eating, more exercise is a real simple formula for staying healthy and living a little bit longer. Real simple. But yet I struggle with it so much. I enjoy eating. And it's my wife's fault. She's such a good cook. I'll blame it on her. But we know exercise and nutrition play a very important part, and being strong is necessary. I remember reading about an evangelical pastor who was 71 years old in Portland, and he could take the Portland phone book. Now, I have a suspicion that the reporter here got it mixed up. I don't think it was a 71-year-old pastor who did this. I think it was an 83-year-old man named Gene Denny who could take 56 Portland phone books, 56 of them, 1,000 pages, and in 3 minutes, he could tear 56 phone books in half. That's pretty strong. I was going to bring the Kenai Peninsula phone book out and wave it around here. And who wants to tear this in half? Praise God. Now, he did that as an illustration. He wasn't just showing off. He wasn't just, you know, challenging any of the young men 50 years younger than him to come and tear those phone books in the same number, in the same time limit. He was using it as an illustration that God can break sin. God can break habits. God can break addictions. Praise God. And if that was a visible representation of strength of what God could do, amen, so be it. But how much more wonderful in the lives of individuals is God able to do a work in tearing away heartache, tearing away sin, tearing away habits and problems and difficulties. Thank God for the power of the Lord that is able to do the work. Now, in the spiritual realm, strength comes from God. And there were men who recognized that. Joseph, for example, when the butler finally got around to remembering Joseph, oh, there's somebody who interprets dreams. You know, Pharaoh had that dream that he could remember, but he couldn't interpret it. And the butler said, oh, I know someone who can interpret it. And Joseph came into Pharaoh's court, into his palace, and he said, it's not in me. God will show him. Amen. Likewise, Daniel, in the presence of the king, he was in another situation of interpreting a dream, but this time the king couldn't even remember the dream. And the wise men said, tell us the dream. Just give us a hint. What did you dream? And we'll be able to give you the meaning of it. And he said, oh, you're just delaying. You're just trying to gain some time here. And they were aghast, you know. That how, if you can't tell us a dream, we can't tell you what it means. But Daniel said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. He knew it was not in himself, but he pointed the king to God. Yeah. Amen. And the Lord spared Daniel and his contemporaries, as well as all of the Chaldeans and wise men and so on in the kingdom. And, I would think that people who saw, or at least of that group, who saw Daniel in the succeeding days would pat him on the back and say, thank you, man. Thank you for sparing us the king's wrath. Now, God, then, is the source. And he's the one that we look to. We know working out in the gym. We know less food, more exercise. All of that works well in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, it's necessary to have the hand of God in our lives. For example, Brother Lamas, who comes and preaches here for us every year, we remember his testimony of coming to a Pentecostal church after he had indulged himself in much of the world, and how that the devil indulged himself within Brother Lamas, and the strength that demonic presence gave Brother Lamas to where he was standing in the back of the church and the pews were bolted to the concrete floor, and Brother Lamas, in superhuman strength, ripped the pew out of the floor, the bolts just coming loose as he grabbed hold of that pew and lifted it up. Now, for some big, strong man to come and challenge Brother Lamas, hey, you fool, you're messing up our church here. You stop this nonsense. And try to strong-arm him. The outcome could have been disastrous for that man. And we know the scriptures also tell about the man from Gadara who was in the cemetery, dwelling among the tombs. And they tried to handcuff him. They tried to tie him up. They tried to put fetters and chains and so on him. But again, because of demonic power, he was able to burst those fetters and ropes and chains and whatever else they tried to subdue him with. He was able to break those and run and scream and cry and howl in the tombs. So we know that spiritual strength is necessary from the Lord. Isaiah has much to say about that strength. Isaiah 12 and 2. A very strong prophetic utterance here. God is my salvation. And not just prophetic, but recognizing, Isaiah recognizing, he's the one I'm looking to. He's the one I call my salvation. But we know that there's a prophetic utterance here as well. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. So when we talk about Jesus, when we read the prophetic words of Isaiah 53, we recognize God didn't just send somebody. God didn't just dispatch somebody and say, okay, the price of redemption is steep. It's hard. Look at all of what has been written, and you have to fulfill it, but you go. That isn't how it worked. The Lord himself came in the form of a man. Amen. And thank God he was willing to pay that price and provide for us. Verse 3 of Isaiah 12, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. The Lord being our salvation, and with joy we are able to draw from the salvation that the Lord provides for us. Praise God. Psalm 28, verse 7. I got a lot of scriptures here that we're going to go through that deal with this aspect of strength. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Verse 8. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Thank God that there would be a pointing towards the eternal, not just strength from the standpoint of strength for the moment, but strength that would result in salvation that is eternal. Praise God that he would provide and he would bless in that way. Now, Paul understood the transition that needed to take place because there would be those who would read passages like this and be completely in the natural realm, not understanding that we're talking about spiritual strength. Paul wrote about how the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Doesn't make sense. How can there be strength? How can God be salvation? We need to be able to figure things out ourselves. The Lord helps those who help themselves, and that's how I'm going to do it. Well, the foolishness of things of God keeps them from discerning the spiritual strength. But we know strength comes from the Lord. Daniel wrote in his book, Daniel 11 and 32, about this valuable knowledge of God and the outcome of that knowledge. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's not just a mental assent, a recognition in the cognitive realm. Oh, yes, I believe there's a God. Yeah, I know there's a God. But no, it's an intimate relationship with the Lord, a closeness with God that we are able to enjoy and know He can be there when our tears are flowing in the midnight hour and nobody can identify with what's going on. Nobody can understand. Yes, they perhaps have been there, lost a loved one, going through sickness, feeling the helplessness and hopelessness of terminal disease. They may have experienced it, but not exactly like what you're feeling. And so the tears that are there, the heartache that comes, the grief that grips you, I'm glad that Jesus knows and is able to come and give you the strength that you need to have. Praise God. Knowing Him. Really knowing Him. I like what Paul says in Philippians and how he says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And I have a tendency to stop the quote right there. As a knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, wow, how wonderful that is. But you know how the verse finishes? The fellowship of His suffering. I don't like that part. Don't want to step into that realm. But the fellowship of His suffering is what helps us to know the power of His resurrection. If Lazarus had not died and 4 days been dead, his sisters would not have known personally the power of the resurrection. Amen. So the fellowship of His suffering is definitely a part of knowing the power of His resurrection. Sheba had heard of Solomon, the queen of Sheba. I don't know if her name was Sheba, but she was the queen of Sheba. She heard of Solomon and his wisdom, all of his riches, and she wanted to see for herself. Okay? And so she journeyed to Solomon. And then she had these words to say. I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. It was twice as good as what she thought or what she had heard. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard, she said. Oh, that's quite a testimony. Because she saw it for herself. Amen. And thank God there is that open eyes and experience that you can have yourself. The woman at the well in John 4 went throughout the city telling what the Lord told her. Things that she probably hadn't told anybody. But the Lord told her. And she went forth then with the testimony, come see a man. Come on, come and see him. He told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so they went. And then they testified to the woman and said, now we believe because we've heard him ourselves. Not just because of what you say, but because we've heard him ourselves. Praise God. And so that experience becomes real strong. And thank the Lord for the strength that the Lord is able to give. Excuses, reasons, analysis, explanation, all of those things not required. Moses and the burning bush. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. He said. And then, oh my, a whole new world opened up to him. I am that I am. You know, I reread this story, and I realized the bush was crackling and popping the whole time that the Lord was talking to him. And the whole time that Moses was giving excuse after excuse. And, you know, the throw down your staff, pick it up, put your hand in your garment, in your coat, take it out again, put it in again. And that whole time, the bush was on fire. Be careful you don't get so used to, if possible, so used to the supernatural that you just take it for granted. Oh, no. Amen. Thank God. The miracles, the power. The statement, I am that I am. What kind of answer is that? What kind of name is that? Well, Moses was going to find out. He was seeing a great sight, but he was going to see so much more. Praise God. And the power of the Lord that would be displayed and the goodness that God could provide. Thank the Lord that Jesus would say, before Abraham was, I am. And furthermore declare to those who heard him in his day, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they're thinking, what? You're not even 50 years old. And you're saying Abraham saw you before Abraham was? I am. Oh, that got their attention. That caused them to sit up and take notice. And so should we. Amen. Because he is making the same statement that Moses heard in the burning bush. I am. Praise God. Thank the Lord. So Moses, seeing so much, the great sight that started with the garden, or rather the bush, and then with the plagues, and then with the Red Sea, and then his song. He said, I'm not eloquent. I can't talk. I have all of his excuses. Now he's singing. Praise God. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength. This is after the Red Sea now. No wonder he's singing. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Praise God. I will prepare him an habitation. Now, he's not just talking about the tabernacle. He's not just talking about, he doesn't even know the tabernacle yet, does he? That hadn't even been revealed to him. What he's saying is, I want God to dwell with me. I want him, my salvation, I want him to be with me. Praise God. I don't want to lose this strength. I don't want to lose this song. Praise God. And because Moses desired to see so much more, the Lord was willing to give to him. Praise God. So, the exploits that came, the power that was displayed. You know, you think about exploits, you think about strength. Samson probably comes to mind. But a tainted story there as well. Samson killed a lion. He slew 30 of the enemies of the people of God, then 100 of them, or 1,000 of them, rather. 1,000 of them. He carried off the gates of the city. Now, he was no little wimp. Now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and gave him strength, but I think he was quite a specimen of a man as well, carrying off the gates of the city, the posts, the bar, everything. Yeah. Captured those foxes. Captured them alive. Put fire between their tails after he tied their tails together. How did he get them to stand still? That was pretty amazing. But we know he lost his place with God. He lost his strength. He lost his sight. He lost his freedom. And it's because he didn't keep remembering, the source of my strength is God. I can't play with it. I can't just walk on the edge here of disaster. I can't just be casual about temptation and think, oh, well, I can get up and shake myself like other times before, and I'll just bash heads and we'll take care of business. It didn't happen that way. He lost out. He prayed, strengthen me. This once. How many more times could he have been strengthened? How many more victories could he have won? And now he's praying, just one more time, God. Just one more time. Let me avenge myself on my enemies. And we know he pushed on the pillars and in his death took more Philistines with him than he had slaughtered in his lifetime. Indeed, avenged against his adversaries, but oh my, the strength that could have been there. Now, if strength comes from the Lord, if there's spiritual strength, then God wants to strengthen you in your spirit. Ephesians 3 and 16. Here's Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. Oh my, he likes to keep his eye on that, doesn't he? My God shall supply all your need. According to what? Riches and glory. So he's praying, he's desiring, he wants the church to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Praise God. And that's to be a continual working of God in the spiritual realm. Jesus himself promised power. You shall receive power, Acts 1 and 8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Yeah. Amen. The power is not just for power's sake. The power has a purpose to lift up the Lord. And then it's to be an ongoing renewal, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Praise God. And thank the Lord that he knows how to bring that power into fruition and continue the power of the presence of the Lord. I like how Joseph has emphasis that the Lord was with him. David, likewise, the Lord was with him. And several other characters in the scripture, the Lord was with them. Amen. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Amen. That's the ownership that the Lord wants to exert. And provide in our relationship with him. When you pass through the waters, you're passing through. It's not going to cover you, not going to drown you, not going to take you down. No, you're going to pass through the waters. I will be with you. Praise God. And through the rivers, they're not going to overflow. They're not going to sink you down. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. And the flames are not going to rise up above and scorch you and kill you. Praise God. Now, the rivers, the waters, the fire doesn't sound like a good time. And it certainly isn't. But understand, the Lord says, I am with you. Praise God. No less than what he was with Joseph, no less than what he was with David. Thank God for the power that the Lord provides. Now, Paul had to learn a principle. In 2 Corinthians 13, he helps us to understand he was dealing with something that was difficult for him. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And he was uncomfortable enough that he asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn in his flesh. But he tells us what the Lord said to him. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's not what he wanted to hear necessarily. He wanted deliverance. He wanted strength to remove it, for it to be gone in the past. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then the Lord went on to tell him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, that's hard to understand. And it's certainly hard to understand when you're going through something like the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Not fun at all. But if we can grab a hold of this truth about strength, if we can understand how the Lord is going to reveal his strength in our weakness, praise God, we can then be able to step into, into the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. Praise God. Step by step, walking with the Lord. Paul said, as a result of hearing what the Lord said, he declared, when I am weak, then am I strong. Again, you got to think, what? How is that happening? What he is understanding, what he grabbed a hold of was that God's power would come upon him and displace his weakness. God's power would lift him up when he felt like giving up. And when he felt inadequate, when he felt that he wasn't sufficient, the Lord came and was his sufficiency. Praise God. And so Paul grabbed a hold of that in a personal way. One thing to be able to say how God does this, how God does that, and share testimony. Another thing to know personally. I know what the Lord can do. I know how he can provide. Praise God. When I am weak, then am I strong. So then Paul was able to grab a hold of these principles and the strength that the Lord would provide. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 10:4, a parenthetical statement that Paul would use as he's talking about the conflict that we are involved in. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. The Lord can make you stronger than the strongholds. Yes. Amen. And pull them down. Yes. Praise God. Defeat them. Yes. Thank the Lord. The devil is good at making those strongholds. And he tries to establish them around the hearts of our loved ones, around our situations, around difficulties that we face. But God can pull them down. Amen. As we let his mighty power work through us. Ephesians 6:10. Here the apostle is about to describe the weapons or the protection that we have in the spiritual conflict. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. We know about that. Verse 10, he's saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, and we don't just go to the store and say, okay, I need some power and I need some might, and where's the strength at? Oh, here it is. I need some strength. It's a relationship that we have with God, an ongoing relationship that we have with the Lord. One of trust, one of faith, one of obedience, one of submission, and recognizing, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. But Lord, all things are possible with you. Nothing is impossible with you. Praise God, and thank the Lord for it, and that we're able to be blessed in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That strength that comes from him, and the possibility that all things are within your grasp. All things are within the realm of possibility for you. Praise God. I like Colossians 1:11. Again, I'm sharing several more scriptures here. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might. You know, these are good prayer. Good prayer scriptures. Amen. AJ, how would you pray that verse? Yeah. If we pray these verses, how would you pray it? Yeah. You make it yours. Lord, strengthen me with all might. I need to be strengthened with all the might that you have, according to your glorious power, the glorious power that spoke worlds into existence. Lord, I need that strength. I need that power. Amen. I need patience. I need long suffering. And Lord, don't forget joyfulness. He won't. But that's what we need to ask for. That's how we need to look. That's how we need to ask. Amen. And believe the Lord. One more. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Praise God. There's a lot of fearful situations in our world today. No wonder Jesus prophesied that there would be men's hearts failing them for fear in the last days. That's just the way our world has turned out. Very, very strong difficulties and situations with terrorism, with the economy, with the weather, with so many areas, disease, so many areas. A spirit of fear. That's not what the Lord has given, but power, love, sound mind. Praise God. Oh my. And it just keeps on. Let me hurry along here and give you more of these. We know Isaiah 40 speaks of fainting, and that's our lot. That's our experience, but not so with the Lord. The Lord is able to impart his strength. And verse 31, that well-known verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God. And we sing that as a chorus. And we end to teach me, Lord. Amen. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise God. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear not. Praise God. For I am with you. There's that promise that the Lord is not going to forsake you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Praise God. That's his will, to strengthen you. His will to help you. His will to uphold you. Yeah. Amen. Thank God. All of these blessings come as a result of what the Lord desires to provide. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean the enemy is just going to lie down and say, all right, you won. I give up. You've got more power than I have. No, he's pretty dumb. He wants to keep showing that he can defeat you, that he can pull you down. And if we try to make it in our own strength, he will defeat you. He will pull you down. You move away from the place of obedience and a place of submission to the Spirit of God, he will defeat you. It will happen. But thank God, we continue our walk with the Lord. We serve him with obedience and submission. We desire to obey him and to be in his presence. Thank God. The Lord's promise is there. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God. Luke 10 and 19 is a powerful promise. Incredible what the Lord said to his disciples, and therefore to you and I as well. Thank God that that power and that blessing is there for us as well. Amen. Romans 6 and 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And I think the apostle is making this statement because he is verifying the earlier verses of Romans 6, where he said we're buried with him in baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. And he's substantiating the new birth experience. He's letting us know that when we're baptized in the name of Jesus, when we're filled with his Spirit, we step into a newness. We are in the place of resurrection, and sin is not going to master over you. It's not going to take dominion. Praise God. And the psalmist prayed. The psalmist would make that plea before the Lord. Order my steps in your word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Praise God. Psalm 119, what is that, Brother Greg? 135? 133? So, we recognize, okay, I want the Lord to order my steps. I'm going to be in submission to him. I'm going to be in agreement with him. I'm going to be walking with him. And I don't want any iniquity to have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Praise God. All right. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, praise God. I'm thankful that is a possibility. I'm thankful that's what the Lord would open up for us as we walk with him. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you being in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things, all things. Nothing left out. Praise God. The devil will try to torment you with old things. The devil will try to drag you down with reminders of what you did, how you lived, how you messed up, and the mistakes that you made, and so on. Old things. But thank God. All things become new by the power of the Lord. And we step into that strong relationship with Him. Praise God. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And the power that the Lord would provide. All right, just a few minutes left. I want to turn back to the phrases of what we read here at the end of Isaiah 53 and point you again to the crucified Christ. This is what's amazing. In His weakness, in His humility, in His shame, He was purchasing your strength. He was providing the way for you, the crucified Christ. The worldly perception to the Greeks, Paul said, this is foolishness. Gods aren't supposed to be weak like that. Gods aren't supposed to be crucified. They're supposed to be hurling thunderbolts and lightning bolts and bringing judgment upon the world in a capricious way. Well, it's foolishness, according to the Greeks. To the Jews, the cross was a stumbling block. That's not the way the Messiah is going to come. That's not how the Messiah is going to perform. And the world today, fairy tales, dismissing the Word of God. That's right. Uh-oh. Not to be looked at as fairy tales and felt like it's just something that is, you know, we substitute Santa Claus and the reindeer at Christmas time and the bunny and little chicks and eggs and so on at Easter time and the resurrected Lord has to compete with all of those things. The world is indifferent about it today. But the power of God, amen, the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, to those who are saved, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Verses 23 to 24, Christ crucified is the power of God. You see, He paid the price. He was numbered with the transgressors, as we read from Isaiah. He bare the sin of many. But He made intercession, and He poured His soul out in death. He paid the price. Amen. And thank God that price brought about a change. And in not a flippant way, we say, He paid the price, you keep the change. We're not being flippant about that. We're recognizing that's what He died for, so that there could be a change made within us that could not be made in any other way, could not be purchased in any other manner but what He would do. Stand with me now. The strong. Not strong because they step forth and say, here, I'm qualified. I've paid the price. I can stand with You, Lord, because I'm strong. No, because we've been made strong by our relationship with Him. We understand the price that He paid. And what the apostle would write, you are bought with a price. And we don't belittle that price. We don't ignore that price. We understand what Christ on the cross means. 2,000 years ago, yes. Praise God, powerful right now. Powerful. Today. Thank the Lord for the strength that He gives to us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Could you come and gather for just a moment? We're going to pray for just a few minutes. And thank the Lord for what He did for us, for how He ministered, for how He provided, how we can be blessed again and again with Him. Praise God. I'm thankful for His mercies. I'm thankful for His touch. I'm thankful for the power that He brought forth. Yes, they mocked Him. They laughed at Him. They challenged Him. You've saved others. Come on, save yourself. Come down from that cross. But I'm glad He didn't. Thankful He didn't. Thankful He stayed there because he knew I would have no strength without Him. Without Him paying that price. Amen. But thank God, as a result, we're able to receive what He has for us. Amen. Let's thank Him together now. Thank You, Lord.